So we're back again for the fourth installment of Angels and the Plan of Redemption. And so I'm looking forward to be able to talk about how angels understand how to impress us. See, they are holy angels. They are holy spirits. As a result of being a holy spirit, they are able to minister to our spirits. They know exactly what they're doing. And I'm so thankful for God for the ministration of the angels. Again, they are not the Holy Spirit, but they do the ministry of the Spirit, the will of, and mind of God the Father, His desires in our lives. So often, as you seek to teach the present truth, opposition will be aroused. And if you seek to meet the opposition with argument, you will only multiply it. And that you cannot afford to do. Hold to the affirmative. Angels of God are watching you, and they understand how to impress those whose opposition you refuse to meet with argument, from the General Conference Bulletin in 1909. So if you choose to end up in a situation, by God's grace, where you are not antagonistic, you don't have your back up like a cat, but rather you're treating the person out of respect and love, and you're trying to be subdued and calm, you're praying the whole time, angels will be there to do ministry, and that is what they are called to do. Now you can see from Genesis chapter 19, there's an idea like this in the Bible. 19:15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And so there was quite a stir at this point. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed with fire and brimstone. The angels knew it, and out of protection for God's people, God sent those angels with Christ, so Christ and angels came to that location. Now, so they were trying to influence with words, and after the words weren't working and Lot was lingering, the angels actually grabbed the hand of Lot, the hand of his wife, and the hand of his daughters to bring them out mercifully, because God wants them, or wanted them, to be blessed. And in the same way, when you're in a tense situation where it's almost like a fire and brimstone's about to come down, if you're willing, like Lot and his family, to be blessed, God will send his angels to minister to you as well. Now, unfortunately, we remember Lot's wife. That's not the situation that I want you to be in, or myself, but certainly we are commanded to consider that situation. We need to catch the inspiration of the angels. Notice what it says. Many have become hard-spirited because they are verily strangers to the working of the Holy Spirit. There needs to be a great reformation in the lives of believers, in their words and works and spiritual understanding. We need to catch the inspiration of the angels in the heavenly courts. We need daily to breathe the atmosphere of heaven. From Bible Training School, April 1 in 1906. And so if angels are amongst us, having been in heaven, just like it says in Matthew 18, that the angels of the children are always beholding the face of my Father, or Christ's Father, just as those angels are up in heaven and also coming down, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, we can be influenced by them with the atmosphere of heaven, because that's the atmosphere they bring. Notice Mark 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. And so we too can receive the blessings that angels will give, not just children, but we too can receive those blessings. And so it's my prayer that angels will continue to ascend and descend so that we will be benefited by their power, their light, their influence, and the atmosphere of heaven that they bring. So now we're to receive the golden oil that's referred to, that we were talking about earlier, in Zechariah chapter 4. Are those at the heart of the work chosen vessels that can receive the golden oil, which the heavenly messengers, represented as the two olive trees, empty into the golden tubes to replenish the lamps? from 1888, page 1498, the first paragraph. So we are to be those chosen vessels filled up with that oil that angels will pour from themselves to fill us. I believe we can learn better from the angels so that our characters will be transformed into the likeness of the Spirit they bring. They bring the Spirit of God to us. We need the holy angels to be ministering to us, that holy oil that fills our lives, so that we can be influenced with the atmosphere of heaven every single day and can continue to be transformed into the likeness of Christ our Savior. So Matthew 25, verse 3 and 4 actually talks about an end time scenario dealing with oil. Notice what it says. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. How did they get the oil? Except through, as it says in Zechariah 4, the ministry of the angels. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So I want to be one of the wise. I don't want to be foolish without oil. I want to be wise with oil. And how is it that we're told that we get the oil? According to Zechariah 4, and also from the 1888 messages, it is through the ministration of holy angels. So angels are the olive trees. They are the tubes by which the oil comes through into the vessels that are to be filled so they can shine with the light and glory of heaven. From the two olive trees, the golden oil was emptied through golden pipes into the bowl of the candlestick, and thence into the golden lamps that gave light to the sanctuary. So, from the holy ones that stand in God's presence, His Spirit is imparted to human instrumentalities that are consecrated to His service. The mission of the two anointed ones is to communicate light and power to God's people. It is to receive blessing for us that they stand in God's presence. As the olive tree empties themselves into the golden pipes, so the heavenly messengers seek to communicate all that they receive from God. The whole heavenly treasure awaits our demand and reception. And as we receive the blessing, we, in our turn, are to impart it. Thus it is that the holy lamps are fed, and the church becomes a light bearer in the world. So this is directly taken from sanctuary language. Notice what it speaks about in Exodus 25, verse 37. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And then Hebrews 1, 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So these ministering spirits are supposed to be bringing us the oil to fill us up so that we can be burning as lamps. Remember the Bible says in the book Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount that we are lights unto the world. We're not to put our light under a bushel that it doesn't shine. We're to put it up in the corner so it gives light to all the room. Now, God's people are to be channels for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. In Zechariah's vision, the two olive trees which stand before God are represented as emptying the golden oil out of themselves through golden tubes into the bowl of the sanctuary. From this, the lamps of the sanctuary are fed, that they may give a continuous bright and shining light. So, from the anointed ones that stand in God's presence, the fullness of divine light and love and power is imparted to His people, that they may impart to others light and joy and refreshing. They are to become channels through which divine instrumentalities, which are angels, communicate to the world the tide of God's love. So reading again the same concept from Zechariah 4, we can learn that the highest influence of heaven is ministered to us through angels, the anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? He didn't answer, so I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So according to the Bible, those that give the oil are the angels, and we are not to be foolish virgins, but we are to be wise virgins filled with the oil given through the means by which God has chosen to disseminate the blessings from heaven, the ministration of the angels. We don't worship angels. Nobody has ever said in the Bible that we're to worship angels. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the angel Gabriel said, "No, worship God, not me." So we don't worship angels, but they are a means by which one thing gets to another, like the blessings of God get to humankind. Because a car takes me from one place to another, I don't worship the car. I'm just thankful for the car that got me from one place to another. And so the angels are not the ones that are the focus, but we need to understand how God uses the various things that He has chosen to use, whereby we can understand better His ministry for the lost in this world. So now the two olive trees, the heavenly messengers, empty the golden oil out of themselves into the golden tubes, that it may flow into the golden bowls representing the churches. These are to let the light shine forth in glorious brightness. See Revelation 1:20 and also 2 verse 1. The Lord will not accept the most splendid service unless the work is purified from all selfishness, all pride, and all impurity. There must be soul consecration. The golden oil from the heavenly messengers must be received. So in Revelation 1, verse 20, and also 2, verse 1, which was referred to in that quote, we're going to read them now. "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches." People will say, "Yeah, that just represents the messengers." But really? Angels are messengers. Couldn't it also include the angels? Yes. "And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." So we can see that the angels are involved here in the book of Revelation. Yes, I do believe they are symbolic, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not referred to as well. So now angels bring truth to the memory. We talked about this earlier in one of our earlier presentations, but this is extremely important to understand. Temptations often appear irresistible because through the neglect of prayer and study of the Bible, the tempted one cannot readily remember God's promises and meet Satan with the scripture weapons. But angels are round about those who are willing to be taught in divine things. And in the time of great necessity, they will bring to their remembrance the very truths which are needed. Thus, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 59, verse 19. This is from The Great Controversy, page 600. This idea of angels ministering and teaching and bringing to memory the things that God has revealed to somebody in the past is precisely why the enemy came to Christ the way he did in Matthew chapter 4. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." What's interesting here is the enemy used scripture, but he didn't use all the scripture. He used only the parts that he wanted to. Go back and look for yourself in Psalm 91. He didn't quote it completely. But what he did do is he tried to show Christ that he, as an angel, was bringing to his memory the things that God had revealed to him before. And just as Ellen White was describing that that's what angels do, you can see that's what the enemy did to Christ. Now, angels are longing to be channels. They are waiting. When the mind, instead of being centered upon self, is occupied in seeking to enrich poverty-stricken souls, the treasure of God's love, the golden oil from the two olive trees, is poured into the heart. Those who impart to others the riches of the grace of heaven will be themselves enriched. This blessed experience all can obtain who will be channels through which God can impart His grace. It is for all who will dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone in Jesus Christ. The ministering angels are waiting, longing for channels through which they can communicate heavenly treasures. That would be you and me if we're willing. Men and women can reach the highest stage of mental and moral development only by cooperating with Jesus Christ, by learning His methods, which is using angels, that's part of it, by accepting His Holy Spirit, ministered through angels, by laboring together with Him in concert with the angels. The intellect is never so truly enriched as when we are trying to enrich others. From 1901. Did Christ here illustrate His work being done through His chosen messengers? Which is right here in John 6, verse 11. Notice what it says. Jesus took the loaves, representing the bread of life, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, representing the angels, and the disciples, or angels, to them that were set down, representing the world, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. So in this story of this young boy giving everything he had, could it be an illustration of how God works in the bigger picture? I think so. Now notice that sanctified teachers have angels by their sides. We had talked about this earlier, a similar thought, in one of the previous messages, where the preacher is receiving oil from the holy messengers, and he is able to impart the truths that God would have him to. Teachers should work circumspectly. Those who are often with God in prayer have holy angels by their side. The atmosphere that surrounds their souls is pure and holy. Why? Because angels are there. For their whole soul is imbued with the sanctifying influence of the Spirit of God. How? Because the angels are there. They should be learners every day in the school of Christ, that they may be teachers under the great teacher, which is Christ. They must learn of Christ and become one with Him in the work of training minds, before they can be efficient teachers in the higher education, the knowledge of God. Special Testimony 7, page 26. So Christ was much in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So who did God send? Remember, we had talked about this before. Luke 22, 43 says, "There appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him." You can read in that section is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was really stressed to the point of saying earlier, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." And as a result of having that burden, He was able to be ministered to by holy angels. I think that's incredible for us to understand. So we can see that the Lord and angels impress the mind. By kindness, by graceful behavior, the messenger of the Lord is to give to the world an evidence of what the truth has done for his soul. The very grace of his words will be a convincing evidence, for the Lord will impress the mind, and many will submit to the sweet influence of the Spirit of God. Angels of God will impress the minds with sacred truths. So now we can see right there that it talked about the Spirit of God impressing the mind, and then right afterwards, angels of God will impress the mind. So we have angels ministering to us the Holy Spirit of God. So now Hebrews 1:14, as we have said before, says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" I think that verse really speaks loudly of what God can do through His angelic ministers, those that are willing and wanting, longing to find somebody who is willing to work with them. And so we can be blessed by their ministry. A piece written in the Spirit of God, angels approbate and impresses the same upon the reader. But a piece written when the writer is not living wholly for the glory of God, not wholly devoted to Him, angels feel the lack in sadness. They turn away and do not impress the reader with it because God and His Spirit are not in it. The words are good, but it lacks the warm influence of the Spirit of God. From Letter 3, 1857. So even the things that we use, like a text or an email, a phone call, those can be blessed by the angels if written in the Spirit of God. But if you send something negative, it can be received negative because it is that Spirit that has sent it. Now, okay, so if I send it with the good intentions and somebody on the other side has evil angels around them because of their experience, can I expect that every time I send something nice, it will be received nicely? Not necessarily. Each of us have our own filter that things have to pass through as well, even emails and texts and phone calls and things like that. So we can believe, though, that if our intentions are good, if we've prayed about something, we can believe that God sends his angels with it to bless it wherever it goes. Genesis 24, verse 40 says a similar thing. He said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. So the angels are going with this servant to be able to prepare the way so that when he does his work, it will come out shining. And that's what happened. So I believe that God can do the same thing for us. Angels occasionally hold and guide a hand. Angels of God will be close beside us and sometimes in human form, but we see them only as men. These angels have stood by your side again and again, and you knew them not. Unseen angels have on occasions held and guided your hand. And could your eyes be opened, you would have seen that heavenly intelligences were cooperating with you. Ever bear this in mind. From 1893. There is that similar thought in Genesis 19 that we had read earlier, where Lot and his family were literally taken by the angel and by the angel's hands and taken out of the city before the city was destroyed. I won't read it for the sake of time, but we know that it exists because we had read it earlier. Angels give access to the hearts. Keep your heart under the influence of the Spirit of God. Make every effort in your power to let the light shine forth in good works. As you walk and work with God, ministering angels are beside you, giving you access to hearts. Notice what it says in Acts 23. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, which is one thing, neither angel nor spirit, which is the other thing. But the Pharisees confess both, the resurrection and the angel or spirit. So to the Sadducees, the angel and the spirit was the same thing. To the Pharisees, the angel and the spirit was the same thing. Notice verse 29. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. For if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. So according to the Bible in the book of Acts, we have the Sadducees and the Pharisees agreeing that an angel or a spirit is the same thing. That's why Paul was able to write that in Hebrews chapter 1, that an angel and the spirit is the same thing. Now, when we are influenced by holy angels, we are influenced by holy spirits. And they have the Holy Spirit of God that they are ministering. So again, angels are not the Holy Spirit, but they are holy spirits. Angels bring the influence and spirit to all. I have not a doubt but that angels from heaven were in the assembly, and that those present, believers and unbelievers, were under the influence of the Spirit and power of God. Why were they under the influence of the power of God and the Spirit of God? Because angels were in their midst. So according to Revelation 18, verse 1, notice what the Bible says. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. So the angel's glory is what lighted the earth. I believe what we need on this earth during the third angel's message and during the glory of the Revelation fourth angel's message in Revelation 18, what we need is the glory of God through the ministration of angels to help us to shine as lights in this world. May it be that we understand better what the Bible teaches about God. May it be that we understand better what the Bible teaches about God's Son. And may it be also that we understand better what God is teaching us through His Word about the Spirit and about angels. Thank you so much for studying with us. God bless you.